It's my desire to live for Jesus. It's my desire to live for Him. Though often I've failed Him and caused Him a shame, it's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. You can take this world's wealth and riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to help someone today, someone who may have failed to see the way. 'Cause one day I too was lost, but I found my way to God. And it's my desire to live for Him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. You can take this world's wealth and riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for Him. You can take this world's wealth and riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire. It's my desire. It's my desire to live for Him.
Book of Numbers, chapter number 13 in the Word of God this morning. Numbers, chapter number 13, if you could see where Jesus brought me from. Goodness. Last three nights I've been preaching at Missions Commerce, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. Wasn't real late last night, and the church where I got right got at, up in East Peoria, Illinois, and me and Mrs. Hart was raised in a little town outside of Peoria. All the memories come back. If you could see where Jesus brought me from. I get ready for church and put on a suit. When I was a kid, as a teenager, I didn't even know what a suit was. Now I wear it almost every day. I'm thankful for a changed life. I'm thankful that I don't have to live the way I used to live. I'm thankful for forgiveness. And even if creepy friends from my old hometown remind me of the way that I used to live, I'll just turn around and say, yeah, look what God did. Well, anyway, Numbers chapter number 13 in the Word of God, we come to a very pivotal place in the life of the nation of Israel. And I do want to reiterate what our pastor said this morning. If you're visiting here today, you owe it to yourself to come back and hear our pastor preach, a wonderful, wonderful Bible preacher. He didn't pay me to say that. I'm not saying that because that's preacher talk. I mean that absolutely. You owe it to yourself to come back and hear our pastor preach. This is an unusual day. And we are receiving a special offering today. And he's already explained that. And so please, if you're a guest and a visitor, just understand that. But let me also say, because the Bible is God's word, if you choose to go ahead and get in on that, the Lord will bless you too. Amen. Numbers chapter number 13, we come to the passage of scripture where by the leadership of the Lord, Moses has told the 12 spies, one man out of each tribe, 12 tribes of Israel, to go into Canaan land, the promised land, and spy out the land. I'll give a little bit of background in a little bit, but Israel is in the wilderness now. And the 12 spies are going to come back and give their report of what they saw after being 40 days in the land. So if you're willing and able, may we stand together, please, and give reverence and attention to the scriptures, Numbers chapter number 13. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 26. Numbers 13, verse number 26. And they, the spies, they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Chapter 14, please, verse number 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. From these verses, I'll introduce the thought of the message in a moment, but first let's bow our heads and our hearts together. I'd like to pray right now. Father, I bow before you in the name of Jesus and pray that the word of God would go forth in fullness of power, coupled by the power of the Spirit of the living God. We stand here before you, Lord, not dependent on any studying we've done, though we've studied, any praying that we've done, though we prayed, but we're wholly dependent upon thee. And likewise, Lord, we as a church body, as we come to this special day concerning the work of your hands, the very daughter-in-law of God, the bride of Christ, that Lord God, we would be obedient unto thee, and everybody in the house would mind you. Please bring forth the fruit of around these altars that would most glorify you, and you alone we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Would you be seated, please? We know that the nation of Israel were slaves in Egypt. We know they were delivered out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea and went into the wilderness. We know that eventually they're going to leave the wilderness and they're going to go into Canaan land. As you study the word of God, each of those places, my dear friend, speak of some spiritual things in people's lives. When Israel was in Egypt, they were slaves. They were under the servitude and taskmasters of Pharaoh. And we find that in order for them to get out of Egypt, Moses was told by God that on that Passover night in Exodus 12, they were supposed to take a lamb, a male of the first year, shed its blood, put it in a basin, and then take some hyssop and strike it on the doorpost where they lived. And at midnight, when the Lord passed by where there was no blood, there was the firstborn in absolutely every
house from Pharaoh all the way down to the poorest person in Egypt. But where they had applied the blood of the lamb, there was no death. And we learned that Israel, though they were under the bondage and servitude of taskmasters, and that's a type and a picture of a lost person, because Jesus said, he that committeth sin is the servant of sin. And Israel was delivered out of Egyptian bondage by the blood of a lamb. We can fast forward to the New Testament, and there's a man by the name of John the Baptist that's baptizing, and Jesus comes on the scene, and John says to Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That Old Testament Passover lamb that shed its blood, delivered Israel out of the servitude and bondage of Egypt, is a type and a picture of what the Savior, the Lamb of God, can do in your life and my life, as we're under the servitude and bondage of sin. And my dear friend, as a lost person, you are under the servitude and bondage of sin. I was under the servitude and bondage of sin. And I'm here to tell you, you can geographically relocate all you want to. You can go to this church and that church and any church. You can go to all the self-help programs and buy all the self-help books you want to, but I'm here to tell you, you'll never get out of the sin in business until you're delivered by the blood of the Lamb, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so we find that Israel came out of Egypt into the wilderness, where they are in our text verses. Ultimately, they're going to go into Canaan land. That's the promised land. God said, I'm going to give you that land. They had the word of God, and they knew it was the will of God for them to go into Canaan land. Now, if you study the songbook says that Canaan land is a type and a picture of heaven. I'm going to keep singing the songs, and that's fine, no problem. But let's make sure we get our theology from the Bible and not the songbook. Canaan land cannot be a type and a picture of heaven, because when Israel finally got in there were still wars to fight. There were still burdens to bear. There were still battles that they faced. And thanks be unto God, when you and I get to heaven, there's no more battles. There's no more burdens. All of that is over. Amen. So then what is Canaan land a type and a picture of? Well, when Israel finally got into Canaan land, even though there was burdens and battles, the Bible says that the Lord fought with them and fought for them. But the Lord gave the victory. And so Canaan land is a type and a picture of the redeemed, the blood-bought people that's been brought out of Egypt, and now they're in a land where the Lord fights their battles for them. That's a type and a picture of the victorious life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they went from bondage unto victory, but now here they are in the wilderness passing through. And they've come to a place, we didn't take time to read it, but at the beginning of chapter 13, the Lord says to Moses, take a man of each of the 12 tribes, send him into Canaan land to spy out the land. And those 12 men went in. They spent 40 days there. They brought the fruit of the land that was referenced in our text verses back unto them. They hoisted up the grapes on a pole between two men. This is the fruit of the land. It's an exceeding good land. They said it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It is wonderful, but there's giants in the land. And the cities are walled. And 10 of the 12 went so far as to say, we can't do this. We can't do this. They're stronger than us. They're bigger than us. Giants live in the land. Surely Brother Hart's ancestors lived there. We can't do this. And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, famous men in the Bible, as we read, said, oh yeah, we can do this. We can do this. And so we find that 10 brought an evil report. We can't do this. And two, Joshua and Caleb, said, yes, we can. And the nation of Israel chose to agree with the majority, the 10, instead of believing the two, Joshua and Caleb. My dear friend, they made a wrong decision. We know that now. Because God said, okay, you don't believe me? Then you're going to wander in the wilderness a year for every day the spies were in the land. That's where we get the 40 years of wandering. This generation from 20 years old and upward will die in the wilderness over the next 40 years and will not go into Canaan land. It won't happen. We find that the nation of Israel, anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5 million Jews, chose to side with the 10 instead of the 2. And that leads me to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the majority's not always right. And so for 40 years, we can go to the book of Numbers. And the Bible tells us the number of people, the number of men from 20 years old and upward, you take that and divide it by 40 years, and do you know what you come up with? You come up with an average of just over 41 every day. 41 funerals on Monday, 41 more funerals on Tuesday, 41 more funerals on Wednesday, 41 more funerals on Thursday on an average. Every day there was death and dying all around them simply because they chose not to believe God and go forward for the glory of God. Then finally, and by the way, Joshua and Caleb did get to go into the promised land because they did believe God. Amen. So we learn that it was the chastening hand of God that caused the nation of Israel to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. What does it say when you get to the book of Deuteronomy after 11 days that they were able to come into the land? It took them 40 years for an 11-day journey. You want to talk about taking the scenic route? They took the judgment route. Amen. That's exactly right. So now here we are. We're reading about the spies that have been in the land. We're reading what the 10 of the 12 spies said. And we're reading what 2 of the 12 spies, Joshua and Caleb, what they said. And so I want you some things about them. Let's listen to their conversation. Listen to the 2 in verse number 30 of chapter number 13. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." The 2, Joshua and Caleb, said, "We are able." The 10 said, "No, we're not able." In verse number 30, Caleb said, "Let's go." The 2 said, "Let's go." The 10 said, "No, let's don't." In chapter number 13, in verse number, chapter 14, in verse number 8, "If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land that floweth with milk and honey." The 2 said, "We can." The 10 said, "We can't." In essence, the 2 said, "Let's have progress. Let's go forward. With the help of God, we can do this." And the 10 said, "No, let's just sit and be satisfied and thankful for what God has given us thus far." Ladies and gentlemen, I am all for being thankful for what God has given us thus far. But when we use thankfulness as an excuse not to go forward when God tells us to go forward, all of a sudden we're in trouble with God. The 2 said, "Let's perform God's word." You see, they already had God's word on it. They already knew God was going to give them this. They already knew this was the will of God. The 2 said, "Let's perform God's word." And the 10 said, "No, let's don't." Let's look at their vision. Look at chapter number 14 in verse number 9. Look what the 2 said. "Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not." The 2 said that the people are bread for us. One Bible student said, here's the first time in history that somebody came along and said, "No problem, piece of cake." The 2 said, "They're bread for us." The 10 said, "They're too strong for us." The 2 said, "It's a good land." The 10 said, "There's walled cities there." The 2 said, "Their defense is departed from them." The 10 said, "There's giants there." Beginning of verse number 9, "Only rebel ye not against the Lord." The 2 said, "It's rebellion for us to sit here and not go forward." And the 10 said, "We don't care." You call it what you want. Call it rebellion, call it disobedience, call it what you want. We don't care. The 2 said, in essence, in verse number 8, "If the Lord delight in us, he'll bring us into this land." That's the New Testament. The New Testament equivalent to that is, if God be for us, who can be against us? The 2 said, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" And the 10 said, "We don't care. We're not going. There's too much against us." What's the difference? What's the difference between the 10 and the 2? The 10 looked at the land, but the 2, Joshua and Caleb, looked at the Lord. The 10 looked at the circumstances, but the 2 looked at the Savior. The 10 looked at the problem, but the 2 looked at the problem solver and said, if God be for us, who can be against us? You say, so what, Brother Hart? So here's the message. It's real simple. Here you are as a blood-bought child of God, saved by the good grace of God. And my dear friend, if you spiritually are still in Egypt under the servitude and bondage of sin, may I say that today, even though we're dealing with a particular subject, today you can respond at the invitation time, and there are people well able in this room to open up the Word of God and introduce you to the sinless Savior, the lovely Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and you can call upon His name, and He will make you a new creature in Christ Jesus, and your life will never be the same. But the rest of us, here we are as children of God, just like these have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb out in the wilderness. And so the message is real simple, child of God. Who are you among? The 10 that says it can't be done, or the 2 that says, if God be for us, who can be against us? All 12 of these are redeemed. All 12 of these came out of Egypt. All 12 of them pictures of children of God. They are children of God, God's chosen people. Here we are today, saved by the good grace of God. As we make decisions in our lives and make decisions in our family, as we come to this special day at our home church, at the house of God, and we've got this offering and got this need in front of us, the question is real simple. Who are you among? Are you among the 2 that says, praise God, yes, with the help of God, let's go forward and let's get this done? Or are you among the 10 that says, well, now just wait just a minute. This is an awful big task, Brother Hart. And I just don't know if we've got enough wealthy people in our congregation to get this done. See, the problem is you're looking at wealthy people in the congregation while a whole bunch of people are looking to the one where the wealth comes from, and His name is God Almighty. Who are you among the 10 or the 2? Who are you among the 10 or the 2 when it comes to the home? Can we still raise children for the glory of God? Can we still have godly homes whenever there's trouble between a husband and a wife? Are we just going to throw up our hands and say, oh, I knew it would come to this. They told me it would never last. And sure enough, this is the way it is. Are you among the 10 and said, well, it's all over? Or are you among the 2 that says, with the help of God, I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to obey the word of God, and I'm going to trust the Lord to fix this thing when it comes to the home of raising children, when it comes to the home and the husband-wife relationship? Who are you among? Are you among the 10 that says it can't be done and it's all over? Or are you among the 2, if God be for me, who can be against me? When it comes to finances, who are you among the 10 or the 2? Oh man, I've got all this financial responsibility. What am I going to do? I mean, the economy's rough. Everything is higher. We went through the pandemic and they raised prices, and sure enough, surprise, surprise, the prices didn't come down, but my pay sure didn't go up. What are we going to do? Oh my, how are we going to make it? Let's chew our fingernails down to the knuckle and see what's going to happen. Are you among, concerning finances, you among the 10, and you're going to worry yourself to sleep at night? Or are you among the 2 and going to say, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory. Are you going to throw in the towel? Are you going to try and work it out yourself? Are you going to look to the God of glory, who is the supplier of everything that we have in our life? When it comes to finances, who are you among, the 10 or the 2? There's times that unexpected financial things come in our life. There's times that medical bills come and unexpected things come in our life. What are we going to do about this? Well, who are you among, the 10 or the 2? But then, there's times, if we're dishonest with ourselves, there's times that we face financial situations, and it wasn't something that was just dropped on us. It's our own fault. You know, when you get those envelopes with windows in them, and it says Discover up in the corner, Visa up in the corner, MasterCard up in the corner, hello? I mean, that ain't nobody's fault, that debt. Is it nobody's fault but my own? Brother Hart, this wasn't a medical bill that was dropped on me. This wasn't some expected thing that was dropped on me. Hart, I'd have to be honest and confess that the debt that I'm dealing with and the finances that I'm dealing with is my own fault, and God Almighty would be totally justified in just letting me wallow in the debt that I created myself. What are you going to say about that, Brother Hart? I'm going to say the book of Judges. The book of Judges. The book of Judges, the people of Israel rebelled against God. What did God do? He raised up a judge. He raised up a deliverer. He raised up a savior and delivered them. And they were delivered from the enemy. And then you know what God's people did? They turned right back around and they went into rebellion and disobedience again. And you know what God did? God raised up another judge. God raised up another deliverer. And they got delivered. And then you know what Israel did? You know what Israel did 13 different times? Rebelled against God, and God raised up 13 different deliverers, 13 different judges. And my dear friend, it was nobody's fault but Israel's fault that they got themselves in trouble with the enemy. And I'm not advocating going into debt, but if you're sitting here today and you are in trouble and it's the work of your own hands, I'm here to tell you there is a God in heaven that is well able to deliver you and fix that if you'll just follow what the Word of God says. I told my wife driving in the church parking lot today, I said, you know what? I've said stuff like that for years. And I said, the reason why I said it, because we were living it. We were the ones that got the envelope with the window. And look, when you get an envelope with a window and it's got a red piece of paper behind the window, you're in trouble, sure enough. Don't ask me how I know that. Amen. And I said, I preached that, mentioned that years ago because that's what we were living. And as we pulled in the driveway today, with no guarantee of any salary and no guarantee of where our next meal is coming from. I know where our next meal is coming from. The pastor already told me. Hallelujah. He's paying for it, thank God. Amen. I don't have to worry about that one, just supper now. Amen. No guarantee of anything, Brother Tippett. And yet, my dear friend, I'm here to tell you that every bit of that debt has been paid off in full. There's a God in heaven. You can mind God and give your way out of trouble. I know that from the Word of God, and I know that by experience. Where are you at when it comes to finances, the 10 or the 2? Where are you at when it comes to health? Can I announce that doctors don't have the final say? Amen. Well, you know, Brother Hart, we don't believe in divine healers. No, but we believe in divine healing. We pray for sick people. Why would we pray for sick people if we didn't think God could do something about it? And so when it comes to health, oh, well, you know, the doctor said, I better go visit Brother Randy, and I better pick out an extra long casket because it's all but over. And so, you know, what do you want on your tombstone? I ain't talking about sausage and pepperoni. I'm talking about the real deal here now. The doctors. No, wait a minute. The Bible still says that God is the great physician. The doctors don't have the final say. When it comes to health, with bad news, who are you among? You among the 10 that says it's all over? Or are you among the 2 that says, with the help of God and according to the will of God, and I'm willing to accept His will, whatever it might be, I'm just going to trust God and go on for the glory of God. When it comes to health, who are you among, the 10 or the 2? When it comes to the house of God, when it comes to souls being saved, when it comes to revival, when it comes to backsliders getting right, when it comes to getting visitors in. Oh, my dear friend, I'm here to tell you week after week, I'm not preaching to churches of this size. I'm preaching to churches that have 30 and 40 and 50 people in. I've preached to as few as 6 people in a church before. People, pastors get concerned about the size of the crowd. I'm not concerned about the size of the crowd. Just turn me loose. I want to teach and preach the Word of God. And when it comes to churches, we're going to say, Brother Hart, we're in the Laodicea age and time, and right before Jesus comes, there's going to be a great falling away, the Bible says. Yep, sure does. But that doesn't mean you have to fall away and I have to fall away. That doesn't mean everybody out there is going to fall away. There's some people out there still looking for God, and they don't know where to find Him. And maybe if we knock on their door, if we go visit them, invite them into the house of God, the Holy Ghost of God to deal with them. When it comes to serving God, when it comes to your bus route, when it comes to your Sunday school class, is God big enough to build it and reach people for the glory of God or not? When it comes to serving the Lord in the house of God, who are you among? Are you among the 10 that says it's over, or the 2 with the help of God? I'm not talking about some personal human determination. I'm talking about, if God be for us, who can be against us? When it comes to hands open offering, air conditioners, best I understand it, $70,000. Now, there's a couple of ways we can handle this. One person can stand up and say, I'll pay for it. And then we'll just pass the plate for the rest of us to obey God, because it's important for us to obey God whether the need is met or not. Or two of you can stand up and say, I'll give $35,000, I'll give $35,000. We say, glory to God, Pastor, pay for that lunch. Let's go. Or seven people can stand up and say, I'll give $10,000. Or everybody can pray and get the mind of God and mind the leadership of the Lord. When they were building the tabernacle in the Old Testament, in the wilderness, Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you. See, the people down at Walmart's not going to find this thing. It's going to be among us. The Lord knew before the foundation of the earth that First Baptist Church would come to this place where we had this need. This is no surprise to him. He said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, take you from among you an offering unto the Lord. Here's the key. Whosoever is of a willing heart. We're already tithing, that's commanded of God. We're already giving an offering, that's commanded of God. We're already given to missions. You ought to do that. We're already given to the building project, the Nehemiah project. We ought to do that as well. We got biblical examples of it. But now we come to a special one-time offering, just like the children of Israel with the tabernacle in the wilderness. And God says, here's what it all boils down to, of just whether or not the people have a willing heart. Let him bring it an offering of the Lord. And then the Lord lists some things. And I've heard preachers say it's not where you end up, it's where you start. You know what the very first thing that God brings up for the offering? Gold and silver, brass, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins, dyed red, badger skins, oil for the light of the tabernacle. And then he goes over here and he says in verse number 10, and every wise-hearted among you shall come. Make all that which the Lord has commanded. It's just a matter, look, folks, of whether or not we're of a willing heart. I said in the Sunday school hour, I'm going to get ready and quit. Don't say amen. I said in the Sunday school hour that whatever the Lord tells you to do, he's not going to hurt you. Oh, yeah, he'll extend you. He'll stretch you. He'll tell you to do something that you don't think that you can do. But the leadership of the Lord isn't designed to hurt you. In fact, if you'll mind him, you'll find out. It'll turn around and he'll abundantly bless you. Now, Brother Matt Tharp gave a testimony at the end of Sunday school. I'm going to give a testimony, and I'm not the example. I think Brother Matt would say he's not the example as well. He just testified. All right, so I'm just going to testify. I've been praying what the Lord wants me and my family to do. Asking the Lord. I've learned a long time ago, you better mind the Lord in this area of giving. You see, the Israel didn't go forward, so they wandered for the rest of their life. I don't want to do that. I don't want to spiritually wander. I don't want to just spin my wheels for the rest of my born days. I want to go forward into that victorious life of Canaan and be used of God for the glory of God. But it's just all a matter of whether or not we're going to take God at his word and believe God or not. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? And so now I know. I have a need. Me and my family have a need in our life, a financial need. I think it's a pretty big one, because it is. And so I'm going to give the need that I have. I'm going to give the amount of what I need. I got it from somewhere else. So you know what that means? I borrowed it. And I'm going to believe God that I'm going to give away to the house of God that which I need and trust him to take care of it. Now, you all do what you want. I'm just testifying. I'm not the example. But I'm just simply saying that's what the Lord has told me to do. When it comes to giving to the hands open offering, we're going to do that in just a little bit. I tell you what. Pastor Jonathan is such a wise preacher. See, he has me come in and do this so he don't have to take the guff. And that's fine. I'm glad to do it. The problem is I enjoy doing it way too much. Amen. This is not a problem for me at all. And I say that jestingly about our pastor. I highly, highly respect him. So we're going to take this offering just a little bit, but it just boils down to this, ladies and gentlemen. Who are you among? You among the 10? Oh, I could never give that. This ain't ever going to happen.
Take a look around, Brother Hart. Or are you among the two? We're just going to believe God. We're going to everybody do our part. I'm going to trust the Lord. Because, my dear friend, if God doesn't finance his work, we would have been out of business a long time ago. If God didn't finance us, we would have been out of business a long time ago. It's just we need to recognize we're not our own. And what he entrusts us with, we're just a steward to do with it what he tells us to do. If you're here today and you're spiritually in Egypt, need to be born again, I invite you to come at a gospel invitation. You're here today and you're a child of God and you're trying to discern the voice of God and the will of God, what he'd have you to do. We're going to give an invitation, another opportunity for you to pray before you mind the Lord and we receive this offering. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, we bow before you in the name of Jesus. We pray for those in our midst that are lost and undone. I pray, Lord, you'd give them courage to slip out and come. Get my attention, the pastor's attention, somebody else's attention in the church that they know could open the Word of God and introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Help our guests and visitors to understand this is a special day for our church. But Lord, if they want to get involved, they'll be blessed for it. But Lord, we as a church body, may everybody be obedient and mind you. And Lord, even though you stretch us out and extend us and tell us an amount that's amazing in our eyes, we know that thou art God and you know what's best for us. And you'll not hurt us before it's all said and done. You'll bless us. I pray children of God would gather around the altar and seek your face to know definitely what you'd have them to do. I pray for those with spiritual needs that they would come and we could be a help and a blessing to them. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, pianist plays, Randy sings, whatever needs to happen. Here's these altars.